have Al's brother join us in studio. But tomorrow's a big one here on 1050. It is TSN 1050's 10th anniversary, and we are celebrating with giveaways all day long. Test your trivia skills tomorrow morning on First Up, and you could win $1,000 and $1,050, 1050 basically. And we're also giving away cash right here on Overdrive. Nominate that special 4030 Tight Tuck Grit Grinder in your life. Post your photos on Twitter or on Instagram using the hashtag TSN 1050 10 years. Hashtag TSN 1050 10 years, and you could win 1050. That's $1,050 courtesy of TSN 1050, and details are up online, tsn1050.ca. So 10-year anniversary tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. I'll be back at my house. I'm looking forward to that. Because apparently when I come in here, Johnny sticks around for an hour. Noodles was here for 45 minutes. Feshchuk has no Wi-Fi wherever he lives. I started the day in a studio with Duffy, Retta, McKenzie, Miller, and I'm ending it with Al's brother, and I couldn't be happier. Al's brother in studio. What's up, pal?
It's been a long day for you. You're picking up on that. Well, I woke up at like 8 a.m. and put on the Trade Center, and here's Brian Hayes, and here we are still, you know, hours later, still looking at your face.
So. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and it's weird because I'm going 0 to 60 here on multiple fronts. I've been in here twice. I've been in the studio twice since last March. I went to Florida March 7th of 2020, so March 6th was my last day in studio. I was here for, I think, was it Free Agent Frenzy?
Yeah, in October.
Free Agency in October, and then I was here today for Trade Center. I don't know when I'm going to be back. I guess maybe for Free Agent Frenzy, whenever that's going to be, end of July or August or whatever. But even just doing the job today where I was in a back, I was like the back panel, and I was on, I think, three or four times. So there's a lot of intervals, there's a lot of downtime, and then I get over here at 4, and I have to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's been a busy day. Well, it's been a busy day, too. Like, you had the deadline. It was a great weekend in terms of sports for the Raptors, for the Jays. You know, the Leafs play tonight. Like, there's just a lot going on. So, and it was jam-packed into a two-and-a-half-hour show as opposed to three.
I know, because we got the Leaf game coming up, right? So the pregame at 6:30 right here on TSN Radio. You can watch it on TSN 4. Nick Foligno will not make his debut tonight. Obviously, he's going to be flying in, I believe, today, if not tomorrow, then has to quarantine for a week coming up from Columbus. But I can't wait to see him play. I like the deal in general. That's the guy I've been advocating for quite some time. Go out and get him. He fits what you're looking for. You're not looking for a superstar. You're looking for a guy who can fit in on the left side, probably play the middle of the ice at times, brings a different type of ingredient to the team. And I like the history. Just growing up in Toronto with Mike Foligno being a part of this team in the early 90s, and the fact that that Nick is coming up, I love it.
The fact that he's not a Carey Fraser fan also, he did mention that.
He's already playing to the crowd, which is a really smart play. Yeah. Really smart play. We had him on during the bubble, like just before the Leafs played Columbus back in August. Awesome interview. Awesome interview, and he's going to be, I think, a big piece to this team. And I like the move. I like the moves for the most part from Dubas as well, basically checking off every possible box coming into the deadline. But I don't think that applies to every single Canadian GM. And speak of the devil, that's why you're in here, Al's brother. And Al's brother's power rankings are brought to you by Doer, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at doer.ca/TO and use code TSN1050. To save 15%. Doer.ca/TO. Use promo code TSN1050 to save 15%. All right, so these are essentially your power rankings based on your evaluation of how the Canadian GMs did leading up to the trade deadline.
Yes, that is exactly what this week's power rankings are all about. And let's get it started right away. And for me, the seventh team, the worst team at the deadline, has got to be the Winnipeg Jets, right? They added Jordy Benn and nothing else. For weeks, we discussed how they needed to go out and get not one, but two impactful defensemen, and they didn't get anybody. They got a guy who could be a bottom pairing guy, but probably more suited to be a seventh on a playoff team. So Winnipeg not going out and making a big push for me as well. They're number seven.
And that's the history of Kevin Cheveldayoff. Like, he has always been a hesitant GM. He's built a very good team. It's not like he doesn't have the ability of building a team, finding talent, mining talent. Obviously, the Dubois for Laine deal looks like an incredible trade, considering the way Laine's playing in Columbus. But I think the logic in Toronto is you've got a good team and you've got an easier path than what you'd be used to. And I felt like Winnipeg was going to have a similar viewpoint. Everyone knew a position they had to address. They didn't do that with Jordy Benn. That's not enough. It's a depth piece. I agree with you. You got Winnipeg at 7. Who do you have at 6?
I got the Canucks coming in at number 6. We talked about it a little bit earlier. They did deal Gaudette and Jordy Benn. They picked up this Matthew Highmore and Madison Bowie. They didn't really bring much in for those two. They picked up a 6th-rounder as well in the Benn deal. But here's the thing. We weren't really sure what was going to happen with Vancouver. Hands kind of tied with the whole COVID situation. But for me, I think just the fact that they dealt Gaudette and weren't able to get anything, I understand that maybe there was some friction there within the locker room. But like, he's a solid third liner, I think. It's still relatively young, 24, 25 years old. The fact that you were only able to get Matthew Highmore, and no disrespect to him, obviously, but you would expect a larger return. It just seems like they gave him away for nothing.
Yeah, this one feels like it comes with an asterisk beside it. Like the Vancouver play in general. Like, I didn't agree with them re-signing Tanner Pearson. I thought that was a guy they should have put on the block, and they didn't. They decided to bring him back. But they have just been crippled by COVID. And I think Jim Benning has been pretty honest that it was going to affect what he was capable of doing, what he could do. The Gaudette one, there's a story behind that. Like, there's some reporting as to why he's the one that went, what you got back in return, why maybe he had to go between now and the deadline. All right, you got Vancouver at 6. Who do you have at number 5 in Al's Brothers Power Rankings, evaluating the trade deadline leading up to 3 p.m. Eastern time?
We've got the Edmonton Oilers coming in at number 5. They added Dmitry Kulikov, but did not get themselves another scorer. And I think that's what they needed. They needed some help with McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, because if they get shut down in the playoffs, there's just no depth there. And I felt that there were some guys they potentially could have went out and got, maybe a Mike Hoffman. I thought they were going to be in on Taylor Hall. And obviously, they didn't make any type of move to address that need that they had. So for me, the Edmonton Oilers come in at number 5.
Yeah, again, they were so capped. Strapped. I'm not surprised they didn't do more.
Yeah.
Like Kulikov alone, I don't know if that moves the needle. I don't think that it does.
Me either.
I'm with you in terms of help around McDavid and Draisaitl, but I think it comes back to Ken Holland, who's into his second full year on the job, realizing they're cap strapped. They need some money to kind of go out before they reload in the offseason. And I don't know if they feel that great about their team. You know, I think they feel great about McDavid and Draisaitl. You got Mike Smith, who are the wheels going to fall off on him at some point? Because I give him full credit. He's been outstanding for them this year. Darnell Nurse has taken strides. Tyson Berry's had a bounce-back year. But for me, I think Toronto and Winnipeg are clearly ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Holland is basically telling us that. Like, he's willing to add a little bit, but he's not going to go crazy. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think you're right, and that kind of leads me to who I've had at number 3. Well, like I said, I have Ottawa at number 4.
Ottawa at number four.
You know, they dealt that 3-pack of veteran D-men that I talked about last week.
Which they had to do.
100%.
Yeah, had to do it.
Just get assets for your guys who are expiring. Maybe they bring back a guy like Goodbranson, who's a good locker room dude in the summer, but deal away those guys and get your assets. But number 3, and the reason I want to go right to them is because you brought it up, the fact that this is Toronto and Winnipeg's season to win, and Montreal comes in at number 3 for me, and I think there was rumblings that maybe they could do something after Brendan Gallagher went on LTIR and opened up some cap space and potentially a spot for them, but they didn't make a big move. They obviously got Merrill and Gustafson, but they didn't pick up.
They did their heavy lifting, I think, in the offseason. I think picking up Stahl, that was about it. Corey Perry's played well for them lately. I think he's actually going to play. Okay, so you got the Habs at 3. Final 2, who do you have at number 2?
We got the Calgary Flames coming in at number 2. That they got a real solid return out of Sam Bennett, a second-round pick and a decent prospect, and they're getting a pick also for David Riddick.
So okay, and you got the Leafs at number 1. I mean, I think that goes without. That's not biased based on Toronto or the show. They did a lot of heavy lifting, and they brought in some pretty good pieces.
Yeah, they checked all the boxes. They brought in Nick Foligno, a guy who can play up and down your lineup, big-time piece. They addressed the backup goaltending position. They got a guy like Ben Hutton to address the depth on the back end. And then even they were able to swing a deal to get Nash.
I'm not sleeping on Riley Nash.
Me either.
I think he'll play. I think come playoff time, he'll play. I think he's your fourth-line center. I think he brings a lot defensively. Offensively, they got to figure it out. It's defensively in the playoffs against bigger, tougher teams. I think he brings a lot of that. So to recap, Winnipeg at 7, Vancouver at 6, Edmonton at 5. You've got, who do you have at 4? You got Ottawa at 4, the Habs at 3, the Flames at 2, and the Maple Leafs at 1. Al's brother, phenomenal rankings.
Thank you,
sir. As always, good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it was good to see you.
We're getting close to that 200, the 100 as well. You guys are going to run that. It's just a matter of time before it happens, Al's brother. The people want it.